to minute 58 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast, where we take a wild trip to the 1987 John Hughes comedy Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me today is DJ Valentine of Simplistic Review. Welcome back on this lovely Wednesday, DJ.
The birds are chirping, the sun is out, April showers bring May flowers. It's a fantastic day to watch two grown men nearly die in a car.
I think you just gave us the title of this episode.
This episode, through two grown men nearly die in a car.
Most fantastic day to watch two men die in a car. There you go. All right, so minute 58 begins with the disc jockey continuing to talk and ends with Dell trying to free himself. All right, so yesterday we ended our messing around minute with the song ending and the DJ. Hey, DJ, the
me.
I didn't even make that. I didn't even make that connection beforehand.
Yes. No one does.
No, they're apparently. I didn't know that you were in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Look, okay, I have an illustrious career. All right, I don't want to brag, but
especially when you were nine.
I was 9 years old here, and they were like, "We got to get this kid in here. He's fantastic." I don't know why, but we got to get him on the radio.
Well, because
John Candy loves him.
We need a DJ.
We need a DJ. We only have one. Let's fly him in here.
Because basically, what does the DJ say? Here he goes. I hope you're enjoying your evening. We're coming up half past the hour.
Sounds like me.
There you go. So basically, yesterday we finished with not much really happening besides the mess around, and then we had the DJ come along and tell us that the weather has started clearing up, and you know, Dell just continues driving, and you know, we get, I mentioned this yesterday, we get the impression that this is the middle of the night.
Yeah,
this is not.
Seems like it's 4 in the morning or something, because exactly. The way the street is and everything. Yeah,
exactly. They're on a completely deserted highway. You know, we don't see any. I don't think we see any cars at this point. I think at the end of the week we finally see a car.
Right.
But I don't think there's any car. I mean, yesterday when he was messing around and the car was swerving back and forth, he didn't have anyone honking at him and saying, you know, why are you doing this, or you know, Roadhog or whatever, you know, Mr. Magoo stuff.
This is the type of highway travel when I've traveled that I wish I could get, but I never do. Where it's like, yeah, open road, awesome. Nah, every time I travel, it's like I'm behind a semi truck or.
Well, it's because you can't drive it for you already right. mentioned that you're somewhat right. narcoleptic, day, so you man. Can't drive it for a day.
I got to drive with people, or I'm going to pass out. That's what's gonna happen to me.
That would not be good. We like you, DJ.
Thank you. I like me too.
There you go. That's a very good sign. So Dell at this point, you know, he finishes his cigarette and decides to toss it out the window. And then we see the cigarette fly back in. Now, do you think it's flying in it's coming back in the same window from the front seat, or is it going through the back seat?
The physics of this perplex me, because I'm like, I have thrown like a straw wrapper, you know, out, and it'll fly back in the same window. So I'm thinking it's the same window, because he didn't open the back window.
That we don't know. We don't see him. We never saw him open this window either, because the window was already open, wasn't it?
Because
Neil asked him, you know, to keep the window a little open.
Open for the cigarette. Yeah. Damn. It must have. If I were to put money, I'd say it blew. Like the window goes a little bit past his head. It blew out. He threw it from the front and it blew out behind him into the back seat. But again, physics wise, this is it's one hell of a breadcrumb. It's a situation.
Yeah. Yeah, but it works. There's no question about that. Now, I mean, if you try to watch in this minute, it looks as if the back window is open also. But I think the idea is it's supposed to go back in the same window.
Right.
You know, actually, is this a two door or is it even a four, or is it a four door?
That's what I was thinking. Well, he has a back seat, a pretty big back seat. I would say it's a four door. I
Yeah.
can't remember when it spins around. Do I see? I'd have to look again. But yeah, I would think it's a four door.
Yeah,
but
the hole with the window open.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think maybe it's a four door. I mean, this minute we can't tell because we only see the car coming straight at us.
Right.
You know, we can't say. Well, we'll have to try and research that later in the week.
Yeah.
You know, with it, but it looks like there might be a window open behind him, and right at the very beginning of this minute, I think it's at the 1 second mark, you can see.
If he threw it out like his a window. Window, if he threw it out his window and it went through the back window, that's even almost more of a highly unlikely scenario. That's a very that's a very good shot. Put it that way. You need to go to Vegas with those odds.
Either way, he throws it out, and we see it basically gets sucked back in and lands. We see that it lands on the back seat. Mm. You know, which and what's great is that first of all, you see that it's still lit when it lands on the back seat, but you also still see Neil's briefcase. Now, how is Neil's briefcase there if Neil is basically reclining almost entirely backwards? You'd think that there wouldn't be room for his right. for it there. I don't know.
It's a big car. It's a farm and country. I mean, it has so many options. And
that's true. That's very true. And then at this point, after he throws out the cigarette, you see that Dill's starting to get a little hot. You know, he's starting to feel that thing that it's getting. It's you know, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the front seat of the. Of the farming country. There you go. And you know, first of all, he tries to cool himself off by you know, flapping the coat, flapping his parka on him. So it's pretty funny that that's what he's trying to do. You know, it makes me wonder what has made him so hot right away.
Well, you know, the window is open. Ray Charles for at least 2 minutes. John Candy's not a svelte man, so yeah, that would get you a little.
Yeah, but the window is cracked open. You know, there is cold air coming in.
Yeah, but even if you got a little cold air coming in, if you're so hyper, so active, and it might be a comfortable thing as well, where you know,
right.
It's keeping all that heat that you just built up in your body. That's what the park is kind of designed for, anyway. So
right, that's true. And I mean, you can see that Dell is sweating. You know, they do that really well, that they give us the detail that you can see that he's – and then he comes up with a great idea that he's going to try to take off his jacket while he's driving.
This infuriates me. Every time I watch it, it infuriates me. And it's not even this movie. It happens a lot where people don't remember they have legs. I don't understand. And a brake pedal. And it blows my mind. I've seen it many times where it is like, you just stop. Just hit the brake. You don't need your arms for any of this that's about to happen.
Right. No, but he doesn't want to wake up Neil. He's trying to be considerate.
If Neil wouldn't wake up for him dancing around like Ray Charles, he's definitely not going to wake up for him slowly hitting the brake pedal. He's going
to no, but if the car jerks to a stop, you know, even if it stops calmly, it might wake him up. You know, he no longer has the momentum that he was feeling up until then. I don't know. I'm just guessing. Just guessing here. You know, and then the music starts changing and we get more ominous music as things are happening. You know, we see that he's trying to take off his jacket and with, you know, he starts with his right arm and then we see that the cuff gets caught on the seat clasp. Now, why would there be one there?
Yeah, usually it's on the outside.
That's right. This is on the inside.
So a very poorly designed farm and country car. I don't know.
Right. I mean, you can't even say, okay, it's on Neil's side, but right. You know that also it's also on the inside.
Why would you need two of them? Usually, one would release the seat to go back. Not you would. Why would you need? It's
right. And this is like a wheel. This one's a wheel. The other one's the one we'll talk about in a few seconds is
like a hook,
hook right. latch or something like that. But this is, you know, this is a wheel where you can like maybe spin it and maybe the seat will go up a little bit. Maybe that's the mechanism that Dell broke on the other one.
Maybe, or I mean, I've seen that latch before in another car, but usually in the back seat where it lets the seat be taken out. But I don't know why you would need that on a driver's
seat. No, but you would also, I've seen that latch, that type of wheel, but you see it on the outside, the outside side of the, or the side facing the door.
Right. The answer is for the joke, but just plainly is it's like, man, this is a really weird thing to get your arm caught in. I guess I need a visual representation of his hand getting caught without, you have to see why can't his move his arm.
And it's great. And it's great that it's his cuff that gets caught. You know, it's like he has these cuffs on his Parker that get caught there. And then, he tries to unsuccessfully disengage from there, and it just doesn't work. And they do a great thing with the music here. Every time that he pulls his arm, you hear like a drum beat.
It's just more and more stuck. Yes. It reminds me of Christmas Story when Flick puts his tongue on the flagpole and he's just like stuck. Yeah. Stuck. It's like the more he moves, the more he's bound to the chair.
He's causing more problems as he's doing it. No, but it's also because of panic. He's starting to panic here. Or not yet. Right. He panics a little more. You
shouldn't panic. Just hit the brake. Just hit the brake.
But he doesn't want to wake up Neil and have to tell him what he just did.
Gently. Just, take your foot off the accelerator. You'll slow down. You can pull it over. It's a very easy situation.
Yeah, and it's funny because they keep showing the wheel. Like he's spinning that wheel around more and more. So if it is a mechanism that's supposed to change the something on the seat, it should be changing it as he's doing that. You know, he's actually getting closer and closer to the steering wheel, or I don't know what it does. And you see that he's starting to feel a little bit nervous about what's going on. And he even tries to, he leaves his hand, he takes his hand off, his left hand off to try and help. And then we see a shot of the car on the outside where you see the car just like shoot to the other side of the highway. It's just, and he
luckily if there was any more traffic on the road, they would surely be dead. Sure. That's
no question about that. And then he grabs the wheel and quickly straightens things out as he's going on there and stuff like that. And then as that happens, we see one of the hubcaps go flying on the car. The front passenger side hubcap just flies off. Okay.
And that going through my mind at the time is there goes the deposit. Right there. It was like, well, you can't return your car with a missing hubcap. They're gonna take some money from you. Yeah. That's
okay. Now, what do you know about hubcaps, DJ? You knew this was coming.
Yeah, I never owned a car with a hubcap. I've always had rims on my car. I've never owned a car with a hubcap. I know they it's just to make the car look the actual rim of the cars weren't designed to be pretty, I guess, back in the day. So they wanted to put something pretty on there that you could take off and take your tire off. But every car I've ever had, I had a Jeep Cherokee. They didn't have, it was just a rim. It was just a rim the whole time. So when I watched movies with hubcaps, I was like, man, I wonder how
and these hubcaps are ugly.
They're ugly.
They look like something that someone
grandma.
No, but not just that. They look like something that somebody would have if you're trying to if you're a James Bond villain, you want to pop
the Ben Hur hubcaps.
Exactly. You want to pop someone else's tire.
A spike is coming out of the end of it. It looks like a chandelier sideways. This is popping out. That's right.
Exactly. So, what a hubcap is? It's a decorative disc on an automobile wheel that covers at the minimum the central portion of the wheel, which is known as the hub. Okay. And an automobile hubcap is used to cover the wheel hub and the wheel fasteners to reduce the accumulation of dirt and moisture on the inside. It also has a function of decorating the car, as you said. People want it to look nicer on the car. The first person to be known to use what we refer to as a hubcap was in 1680.
What? Yes. What? Ben Hur?
Was no, Ben-Hur was Ben-Hur was even
before her. Yeah, yeah. A little bit
farther back. Ben-Hur was around zero. sorry, it was 30. It was 33, something like that.
Yeah, I was a little off.
A little off. So someone had a carriage in 1680 where they put something on it as a hubcap that they were trying to keep away dust and grease from it. Hmm. Obviously, you know, in modern days, it's most cars, except for cars that DJ buys, have hubcaps on them.
Yes.
Nowadays, they're mostly used to protect the lug nuts or the wheel bolts from rust and corrosion that can make them hard to remove when it's necessary to have to change your tire or change the wheel, you know, either of them at the same time.
I'm thinking, I'm just going through my brain, like, when's the last time I've seen a car with a hubcap? I don't know. Because I'm looking at my friend's car, he has a rim. It's not like a fancy car. He has like a Honda Accord or something, but it's all rims now.
Yeah.
It's all that I see.
Right. Now, they used to be made of stainless steel, magnesium or aluminum, things like that. And nowadays, they're basically almost entirely made out of plastic. That's the primary material that's used for hubcaps these days. So I found something very interesting that is directly related to our scene here. It says part of the lore of hubcaps is that on bad roads, they have a tendency of falling off due to hitting a bump. Center caps, however, fall off less frequently than older full wheel covers, which were often quite heavy. In some parts of the U.S. and in Mexico, there are automotive garages whose walls were decorated with various hubcaps that had fallen off in the vicinity, and they would often sell them.
What? So maybe the rental car place would like just chalk it up to the game, like, yeah, the cars lose hubcaps all the time.
Could be.
It's fine.
So in order for people to prevent the loss, there are a lot of people who use electrical zip ties to keep their hubcaps on. The problem is I would think that if you have that, then you need to walk around with a knife to cut them if you get a flat tire, you know?
Yeah. How are you going to change your tire? Again, going back to a Christmas story, I think that's the most famous hubcap scene I can think of is when he tries to change the tire. He keeps the hubcap with the nuts and he flips it in the air and he says, oh, fudge, but he didn't say fudge.
And in the 50s and early 60s, that's when people started using them as decorative items on cars.
Plastic decorative
items? No, they weren't plastic back then.
Oh, they were metal.
They were metal. So, that's what I got to say about hubcaps. So then we get another internal shot where, you know, he's still trying to free himself and he's trying very, very hard each time. And then you see the car from outside once again swerve. Now, if you pay attention, you'll see that the hubcap is back.
Yes. I did notice.
So you see, you were worried that the car company was going to be a little upset that they're getting the car back with a hubcap. They have magical hubcaps.
Magical. They're, that's why I'd be upset. You lost our magical hubcap. It's not just a regular hubcap. The thing it regenerates, and you've lost it twice. I don't understand how that happened.
Yes. Then once again, we get to see Dell again trying ferociously to get himself, you know, to pull his cuff out and get him. And he looks at Neil at this point, who is fast asleep, doesn't know anything is going on.
Unconscious.
And at this point, he like moves to the left and nearly hits Neil in the head by the way that he gets it. And the music of this scene is just perfect because it's basically saying danger, danger, Will Robinson, you know.
it's like the Jaws theme at some point.
I think the Jaws theme would have even been better. You're right. I didn't even think about that fact.
John Williams is expensive. Yeah. So you got to make sure you can pay for that, the rights for that.
No, because I mean, you think you can see what's going through his mind. He's like, okay, my right hand is stuck, so the most logical thing is to free my left hand.
Right. not slow down. It's still to this day, but I'm like, just slow down. That's all you have to do. Because eventually, he kind of does. But that's, I don't know why. Again, the answer is the joke. But it's just like, man, there's another way to get out of the situation.
Yes. And then, and
at least two off the top of my head. And you wake up, Neil, or yeah. Slow down.
And then we see him like grit his teeth. And the final shot of this minute is the perfect way to end this minute. Okay, is we see the latch on the right-hand side. That's all we see.
Staring
you
at know, you.
Again,
judging you.
This is Chekhov's latch. Something is going to happen with this latch.
Remember me. I will be back.
Maybe tomorrow we'll discuss this. All right, do you have anything else you want to talk about this minute?
Just guys, if you're ever in a situation that John Candy's in, guys, you know, if you take your foot off the accelerator, you slow down. You might not stop, but just slow down, and then you can hit the other foot because your feet are part of your body, and you can hit the brake, and Neil won't be he will still be asleep. He'll be fine. Again, just slow down. Be safe out there, guys.
That's true. Actually, what I find really interesting is you can see at the end of this minute the cigarette. Carton hasn't moved.
It's glued to the dashboard.
It's glued to the dashboard, and also the wrapper. Neither of them. They're still there. Doesn't matter how many times this car swerved. You know, it all just stays there the entire time. That's great. So the script has a few minor discrepancies. Okay. Not that many big ones. First of all, it mentions the fact that the butt is blown back from the same window.
Okay. Then. All right.
Yeah, but it says that it lands in the boot behind the back seat. Okay, I don't really know what that means.
I guess where you, the on the ground the boot. Oh, maybe that's where the window meets the. I don't know.
Well, it needs to be somewhere where there's some sort of fabric.
Right.
That's what I would think. Yeah. Not really sure. At this point, it talks about the fact that he's bobbing to the music. That's all it says.
Oh, okay.
You know, it doesn't go into detail the way that we – it doesn't talk about messing around.
Hmm.
You know, here it says Del – there you go. Del bobs his head to the music. He's something heavily bored. I don't know what the word – I can't really tell. He taps the steering wheel to the beat, flicks his brights on and off to the beat. That's all it really says there. And then it starts talking about that it gets a little warm in the car and stuff like that, I guess. So that – okay. Yeah, so that's pretty much all they have for this one. So the segment that we do every Wednesday is Hughes Hump Day, okay. Where my guest will give their top five John Hughes movies. So – what do you got for us, DJ?
My number five, John Hughes is the plethora. And my list might scare a whole bunch of you because I don't have the modern classics most of them I have. Number five is Pretty in Pink. Besides it having an ending that angers me to this day with the fact that Andy gets with Blaine instead of Ducky, I still hold it in high regard. I'm a huge James Spader fan, and this is Spader and maybe his most spadery. He's just Spader. The whole it's fantastic. Young, kind of creepy Spader is fantastic. Number four, Weird Science. Did I have an unhealthy obsession with Kelly LeBrock when I was a kid? Yes.
Once again, who didn't?
I mean,
teenage boy born in the 70s didn't?
Right. What of it?
I mean, exactly. And even looking back,
women, sure, it does. What of it? I don't care. Could exactly. It ever be made today? No.
No.
No, 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 no.
But it doesn't need to be.
No, no. I have it still. It's sitting right on my bookcase right there. This might be I just love this movie. And this is like Kelly LeBrock. Because this woman in red Kelly LeBrock, this Hard to Kill Kelly LeBrock, but it's kind of like fun Kelly LeBrock, where she's like having fun. She's you know, I think she had star making potential in this movie. But yes, number four, Weird Science. Number three, Breakfast Club. It took me a very long time to see this movie. I mean, I've seen clips and it was referenced to death, but I never got around to watch it all the way through till maybe about 8 years ago. My sister freaking loves it. So she was like, oh, we're just watching it in the living room one day. And I just think it's just a really well-made film. And I've done no research. I don't know, but I think this might be John Hughes' favorite movie of his. I don't know. You might have the answer, but this seems like a lot of love went into this movie. So yeah, Breakfast Club number 3.
Yeah, well, you see, it's funny that you just mentioned. I mean, I'm a few years older than you. I was born in 74. You were born in 78.
Right. Fine,
but I remember that I went to see The Breakfast Club in the theater in 85. So I was 11, and I think to myself, I don't want my 14-year-old son to watch it, right. And my parents let me watch it when I was 11. You know,
we were mature kids back in the day.
I don't know if it's mature. It's just I say my parents are crazy. I mean, again, I don't really care at this point. You know, I can't say I don't think it changed my life. Obviously, it changed my life because I saw these type of movies as a kid, and I love movies. Right. So, but yeah.
My number 2 is the one we were discussing, Planes, Trains. It has, I mean, not to spoil stuff that's happening weeks ahead of time now, but it has one of the best twists and tone of a film that I've ever seen. You expect madcap comedy, which it is, and then it just sneaks up behind you and stabs you right in the feels at the end, which I did not expect when I first saw this movie. Number 1 is Ferris Bueller. I love this film. I always loved this film. I loved it when I was little and didn't get some of the jokes. I loved it when I was old enough to get them. I really dug it more when all the Cameron, Tyler Durden theories came out. My co-host on the show, Justin Polizzi, and I, when we went to film school together, we made a short film, which was an ode to Ferris Bueller. It will always be my number one Hughes film. I love it, love it, love it, love it. I think this is the most charismatic Matthew Broderick has ever been in anything other than maybe Biloxi Blues. It's fantastic. I love this movie. It's great.
Okay, cool. Thank you. No so problem. The other segment that we do every single day is Off the Beaten Track, where either myself or my guest will give a little story anecdote of some adventure or misadventure that might have happened to one of us over the journey of life. So, DJ, you got another one for us?
My other co-host, Matthew Stewart, we took him to Seattle for his bachelor party. He always wanted to go. He got to pick the place. And we're like, we're going to Seattle. And when you think of Seattle, what do you
Seattle?
Think?
Why would you want to go to the suicide capital of the world when you're about to get married?
He picked it. I was rooting for Vegas, but he picked Seattle, so we went to Seattle. I don't know why.
Well, was he looking for Frasier and Niles?
Probably. Maybe. We do love sausages and scrambled eggs, but no, we went to Seattle anyway. We had a great time. It was fantastic. It's an underrated city. I don't know why people kill themselves. Well, anyway, we went there, and the first thing you think about Seattle is the fish tossing place, where you see it in the real world thing where they toss the fish or whatever. And we went there, and we were like, hey, waiting to see them do the whole spiel. And then we realized, what they never tell you, is that they don't do that unless you pay them. Unless you're buying something, they'll just look at you as you're looking at them waiting to do something. They'll look right back at you, and you're like, what? What do you want? And so it's not just fish. Like, if I want to get some clams, they'll throw clams. But the whole time we were standing there for like 5 minutes, like, they're not, maybe this is made up. Why is that guy, that fisherman in the thing, just staring at it? See, he won't do it. And then they explain, oh, yeah, you only throw the stuff when you buy the stuff. And I don't know if you've checked.
They don't have like a little monkey with a little cup.
and the stuff is not cheap. if you want them to catch throw a large fish and catch it, you're going to be paying a pretty penny. It's like $150. So
you have to buy the fish also, buy or not?
They're not throwing anything unless you're buying it. So it's not like for practice or, you know.
No, I thought you were saying that you pay them not necessarily to buy something, but you can pay them,
right?
You know, I guess, you know, to use the analogy of Vegas, okay, you pay a stripper, you know, so it's the same thing. You're paying someone to
it's kind of a cross deal where they'll throw the fish once you buy the fish, but if you're not buying the fish, they're not throwing anything. They're sitting there looking at you.
In other words, you can't.
No, rent no, no, fish. They can't rent. No, they don't do rent. Because once they throw the fish, they put it in a bag and they give it to you, and you move or you get out of the way. But if you're walking over there to see them throwing stuff, you better hope somebody's a big spender, some kind of a Gordon's Fisherman guy's over there buying some stuff. Because if it's not, then you're just gonna be looking at them, looking at you, and they look like what you think. They look like pirates. They're like long white beards, and you know, but they're not. You always just see the thing. You think it's the other them throwing fish, but they don't do it. I was very, let's say, disappointed. I was just like, oh, that makes sense. But damn, I want to see you catch a fish. So the most we saw him throw was a bunch of clams. which was it. So yeah, Seattle's still a great place. Matt McKinley was awesome. Don't go for the fish.
All right, excellent. Excellent. So you want to once again tell people how they can get
touch with you? SimplisticReviews.net. SimplisticReviews is also another way to get there. And search on, or I never dropped our Twitter handle this whole week. Twitter handle's at Simple Tweeters if you want to tweet the show, or me, you can tweet me at Trying to Be DJP. That's me. If you want to find me and talk about throwing fish, which I've never seen with my own two eyes other than on the real world, which is very, very sad. I'm sorry.
Well, you got to splurge.
I'm not spending $150 on a halibut.
You got to splurge for the spurge.
Like halibut. Right? I don't know what to do with this. I can't.
All right, makes sense. And while you're doing that, you can go rate, review, and subscribe to any podcatcher you might be using to listen to this show. To find me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can go to our website, movierobminute.com. You can find us on Twitter, or you can find us on Facebook. So, DJ, you feeling lucky? You wanna try to help Dell get out of that parka? Oh,
please, get Candy out of the parka.
Yeah.
We got to get Candy out of this parka.
All right, because, you know, if not, and you come back tomorrow, you're fucked.
God damn it. God damn it. You know, it's funny. We did a sketch maybe 3 years ago for Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. And I had my co-host's wife. I wanted her to do the whole scene, but I changed some lines around where they're talking about the Simplistic Reviews podcast instead of I want a car. And she was like, I don't understand this. And I played her the scene. She goes, oh, I understand it. Because on the page, it doesn't make sense. Like, why is, what's going on here? Then I made her watch the scene. I go, you got to be a nice, you're Mrs. Poole. You got to be nice and then say you're f***ed. She goes, oh, okay, I get it. Such a great scene.